Let's just commit our time to the Lord, a word of prayer. Eternal God and our Father in heaven, we come to Thee this evening, and in through that precious and all-worthy name of our Savior, we thank Thee, O God, tonight for the privilege that is ours to come before Thee. And we pray, Lord, You'll bless us tonight. Help us, Lord, in this time of worship together. We know Thy help. We pray, Lord, that You would be pleased to come and move amongst us and speak to all of our hearts this evening, we pray. So, our Father and our God, we commit our time to Thee. Bless us, we pray now. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. I'm going to commence by singing one of our favourite hymns here in Sandown. It's not in the hymn book, but the words will be on the screen. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. We'll stand together as we sing this opening hymn, please. Well, let's unite our hearts together, please, in a word of prayer. Let's just take a moment to still ourselves in God's presence, ask for His help in this meeting tonight. Eternal God and our Father, we thank Thee this evening for the victory, the power that is ours through Christ. Realize, O God, that as we come before Thee, we do not on any merit of our own. Lord, we thank Thee today that we can claim all the merits of Christ. We thank the Lord today for the Son of God who loved me, gave Himself for me. Lord, we stand amazed, we stand in awe and wonder that You should ever love us. O God, we thank Thee today that we've been loved with an everlasting love. We thank Thee, O God, today that love for God towards His people will never change. O God, we thank Thee for that moment when You've lifted us up out of the dirt of sin. You placed our feet upon that rock, Christ Jesus. We thank Thee, Lord, You established our goings. You put that new song in our mouth, even praise unto our God. And we pray, Lord, that even tonight many shall see it and shall fear. Our Father, we thank Thee this evening for the transforming power of the gospel. And Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that in this meeting those who are still held in sin, bound by sin, we pray, Lord, that tonight You'll speak to them. And Lord, that this night You might challenge them about their awful condition before Thee, how they stand lost and condemned. And Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight You would be pleased, break the chains that bind them to their sin. And O God, we pray that tonight they might have that cause to praise Thee over the joy and the knowledge of sins forgiven. Our Father, we pray that You'll bless our coming together this evening. Keep Your hand upon us for good, O God, we pray. Bless all that will take place in this meeting. We ask, O God, for Raymond and for Mark as they come and minister to us. Lord, we pray that they'll know help. We thank the Lord for them. Thank the Lord for how they're using their talents in the service of the Master. Encourage them tonight, we pray. Remember especially our brother John as he would come and tell us of what the Lord has done in his life. We thank the Lord for a life saved. And, O God, we pray that You be pleased to help him this evening. Take away the nerves, the fear of man. And may he know great help even as he would come and relate to us his life story. Bless us, we pray. Take of our thanks for Your goodness toward us, Lord, for health and for strength, for all those things that You've given to us. And Heavenly Father, we pray that even tonight we might, Lord, see the good hand of our God at work. Remember our city. Remember our country at this time. O God, we cry unto Thee. Have mercy upon us, we pray. Lord, be merciful to us. O God, we ask, turn away Thine anger. And Lord, in the midst of Thy wrath, remember Thy mercy. Lord, turn many to Thyself. Lord, turn many away from the things of this old world. Turn many, Lord, away from where there is no satisfaction, and turn them to Jesus Christ. So, our Father and our God, we pray, You'll do our hearts good this evening. Meet with us, and Heavenly Father, come, pour out Your Holy Spirit upon us. And Lord, we will be careful to give Thee the praise, all the glory and all of the honor. In Thy name we pray and ask all of these things. Amen. Amen. This evening we are delighted to welcome back Raymond and Mark. Also, their bosses are with them this evening. They're shaking their heads. That's right. Kimberly and Joanna, we're glad to have you both. Glad to have you all tonight. Thank you for coming. As always, we look forward to you, and we're going to ask you to come and minister to us at this stage. Lord bless you. Thank you.
Okay, folks, well, thank you very much again. Gareth has said, it's great to be invited once again as a family to minister to you here at Sandown. It's always a great highlight to come and minister to you. So tonight we have a very, very short program featuring some of our most favourite songs and some of my favourite songs as well. So I hope you enjoy.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Raymond, Mark. We certainly enjoyed that, and a blessing to your hearts. Thank you for that. We'll hear from them in just a little moment's time. But we want to welcome you all along this evening. It's good to see you all in God's house tonight. To each and all, we welcome you in the Saviour's great name. And to those who are visiting with us, we extend you a very special welcome. Upstairs or downstairs, we welcome you in the Saviour's name. Thank you for being with us this evening. Pray the Lord will bless you. And trust you feel very much at home amongst us here in Sandown this evening. Can I just at this stage run through a few announcements, and then we'll ask Raymond and Mark to come back and play for us again on Tuesday. We'll ask you please to remember the holiday Bible clubs. 11:30 they start down in Clarewood, and then over to Braniel at 1 o'clock, and then Vianville at 2:30. So we'd ask you please remember those holiday Bible clubs. They're in the open air, so we pray for good weather. But certainly we had a good time yesterday out with the three different clubs in the Hollywood area, and pray that tomorrow, or on Tuesday rather, the Lord will give us a good time and acceptance with the children in each of those areas as we seek to go to tell of the gospel. Then on Thursday night, 8 o'clock, we have our Bible study and prayer meeting. This Thursday night will also be our monthly communion service, and so please remember that the Lord's table will be observed after Thursday evening. And our brother Derek Graham, one of our elders, will be speaking and in charge of the meeting on Thursday night. Then next Sunday, in the will of the Lord, at 11:30 a.m. and 6:30 p.m., one of our Bible college students, our brother Mr. David McCauley, will be here to preach at both of those services. Do remember that. Come and support Brother David as he comes to bring God's word in the morning and in the evening. Saturday the 4th of September, we've been asking you to keep that free. It's a church family day out, all in the open air, all outside. And if the weather is against us, then there is plenty of cover and shelter. It's Crawfordsburn Scout Centre that we're meeting at. So please keep that free. And if you are planning to go, then we need to know your name and get your numbers, as many as possible. Could get numbers as soon as possible to your brother John Kennedy, please, as soon as possible. That would be great, certainly by the end of this month, so that we can make the arrangements for catering. So that's Saturday the 4th at Crawfordsburn Scout Centre for that time of fellowship. Then we have our baptismal service on Thursday the 9th of September, and that will be held in our Hillsborough church. It's just for our own congregation here, and we're using the facilities there in Hillsborough, and so we trust you'll be able to join with us on that occasion as well. Do remember the children's work, the youth work, as it recommences. Sunday the 5th of September, Sunday school starts back here in Sandown, 10:15, as does the Bible class. Then youth fellowship recommences on Friday the 10th of September at 8 o'clock. The Hollywood Sunday School commences on Sunday the 12th of September at 2:30. It moves to a new location, this time to Redburn Community Centre. And so please do remember that in your prayers. Then we have the Explorers Club, Tuesday night Explorers Club for the children, and that will recommence on Tuesday the 14th of September at 7 p.m. So I'd ask you please, keep all of these meetings in prayer. Pray much that as the Sunday School work, the children's work, the youth work recommences, that the Lord would keep his hand upon all of these works. Do continue to remember all those who are unwell and those who are shut in at this time. Pray that the Lord will keep his hand upon them all. We're delighted to see Nikki with us this evening. Nikki has not been very well, and we've been asking you to pray for Nikki McLean. And Nikki has made a great recovery. I know there's a long way to go, but Nikki, we're glad to have you and Adele with us this evening. Pray the Lord will richly bless you and continue to be with you as you recover from your illness. Also want to pass on our congratulations to James and to Judith McGill. I know they're no longer with us now, but Judith had a little girl this afternoon, and so we extend our congratulations to them. Raymond and Mark, are you going to sing for us? You are? You going to sing, Raymond? No. Oh, well. Worth a try. I'm going to ask you to come at this stage. Thank you.
What a day that will be.
Raymond and Mark, thank you so much. That was beautiful and blessing to all of our hearts. Thank you. And thank you for being with us tonight. Certainly blessed by it, as always. Appreciate you coming, giving of your time. And I know it's been a blessing to all of us this evening. Amazing grace. Thank God tonight for grace. Where would we be if it were not for the grace of our great God? Thank you so much for being with us this evening. So you're not here to hear me tonight. You'd be glad to hear that and shout hallelujah and all the rest of it. You don't have to listen to me tonight. We are delighted to have, as we always have, our brother John Kennedy, one of our own deacons here, our church secretary, and Sunday school superintendent down in Hollywood, and car fixer-upper and all the rest of it. The list of titles goes on. But we're glad to have John, and I'm going to ask him to come, and he's going to share with us now his testimony, what the Lord has done in his life. Pray the Lord bless you as you come now and speak to us. Thank you, John.
Hello, everyone. It's good to be here tonight. Just before I start in the word of testimony, there's no greater place to start than before the throne of grace and before the Lord. So let's all join together in a word of prayer and ask the Lord for his help tonight, please. Dear Lord and Father in heaven, we come before thee. And Lord, we just thank you for all your goodness this day. Lord, we thank you for your word that's gone forth this morning. And Lord, we thank you for your hand upon us. And Lord, I especially thank you tonight for this word of testimony you've given me. And Lord, I just thank you for how you've worked in my life and how it's all through you that I stand here tonight. And Lord, I just ask that, Lord, you speak to both sinner and saint this night. Encourage the saints. And Lord, for those who are still without thee, Lord, break down that hardened heart and give that heart of flesh. And Lord, may someone this night, through this word of testimony and how you've worked in my life, come and know you as their own personal Saviour. So Lord, be one with us, and may everything we say and do be the honour and glorification of your name. Amen. Some might remember a number of years ago, I gave a word of testimony here in Sandown, so some might be wondering, why is he back so soon? But to my shock, I'd been out one day a number of years later with Mr. Wilson here, and we got talking about my testimony, and he said to me, and I was deeply shocked by this, but he said to me, you know your testimony only lasted 7 minutes. And I thought, 7 minutes, you sure? And I wasn't going to argue with the minister, truthfully. But anybody that knows me will know I can talk for more than 7 minutes. They say women can talk, but I think I even go past that. I probably shouldn't have said that because I'll get myself into a lot more trouble before the night's out. So there's a bit of unfinished business, for want of better words. And that's why I believe I'm here tonight. But in preparing for this word of testimony, as we've already sang, these words kept on coming back to me each time, and there were those words that we were singing earlier, yet not I, but through Christ in me. And it's all through Christ. I stand here because of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he cleansed me from my sin. And I hope and pray that everything you hear tonight will be to elevate his name and won't be of anything of me, because if it was anything of me, well, I can guarantee you I wouldn't be standing here right now. So, we'll make a start. I was born on the 5th of the 4th, 1973. Now, to save you all counting, I'm 48. Don't let the grey hair fool you. I know I probably look older, but there's nothing I can do about that. And believe you me, I'm not going to start rinsing my hair at this age. But anyway, I was born into a Roman Catholic home. And I have to go back a wee bit to, truthfully, divert a wee bit and go back to the first time I went to give a word of testimony. And I can remember sitting down where Eric is, and I was talking to Derek one night, and Derek was saying to me how he was looking forward to me giving a word of testimony at that time. And I says, "Do you not know any of my past?" And he goes, "No." And I says, "Well, you know, I kicked with my left foot." And I'm just putting it in your guys, your terms, or my eyes are too close together. Or I don't know where all these terms truthfully come from, but I just go along with them. So anyway, I was born into a Roman Catholic home, and I lived in Kukuli, as a child, and my earliest memories of things were just, I just had a normal childhood. I'd done the usual, I know it doesn't happen now, climbing trees and football and things like that. I used to go down to the river, loved to go down to the river and catch stickleback fish. Now, I see Eric nodding his head. He knows what I'm talking about. But stickleback fish, for those young ones who don't know what they are, they were about that their size. So I used to love doing things like that. And as I mentioned, I love my football at a young age and still follow it a wee bit, but it's not as important in my life. And I know there's a man here who's probably not going to like what I say next, but from about the age of 6 or 7, I was a big Manchester United fan. Isn't that right, Billy? I know you're not going to like that. The best team in the country, without a doubt. So, but anyway, we'll move on swiftly. I used to do, you know, it was a Roman Catholic, it was a Protestant estate I lived in, and it wasn't the best place, maybe you could say, for a Roman Catholic family to be living in at the age during the 70s and mid-80s, but, you know, we just mucked in and got on with it like everybody else, and I collected for bonfires and things like that, and there's a good old saying, if you can't beat them, join them, and that's what we were doing. And, you know, greatest of people we had as friends. And, you know, whether you're Catholic, Protestant, no matter what your background is, you know, I mean, it doesn't stop the Lord from saving you. You know, it doesn't stop you coming to know the Lord. Being a Roman Catholic, being a Protestant or Hindu or Muslim doesn't make any difference. You know, the Lord can save anyone. It doesn't stop you being getting saved and getting right with the Lord. I remember Christian groups coming to the community centre in Kilkelly, and that was sort of the first time I'd heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. And truthfully and honestly, I was probably more in one ear and out the other, and wasn't listening enough. But in those early days, there was also a man by the name of Keith, and Keith and his wife would have wee meetings in her house. It was in a place called Clandeboy Heights, which wasn't too far from us. And every so often, I believe Keith was he was involved in the Free Church, and I can remember going to his house on various occasions, and truthfully, I was probably only going because I knew there was juice and custard creams at the end of it. But I'm glad I went, and that's really where, truthfully, I believe the seed was planted away back then. And I have a lot to thank Keith for and how the Lord used him, because we were to have a few meetings throughout before my Christian life. But I remember him as such a man of God and meeting him at various times, and he just wouldn't walk past you. He had to tell you of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was only recently, truthfully, and I feel guilty for saying it, that I actually rang him, being a Sunday school teacher. Now, I wanted to encourage him and tell him of where I was in life, but As we move on, I then move to a place called Whitehill, if you know where that is in Bangor. And for some unknown reason, we seem to end up in all the loyalist estates. I can't fathom it, but I can only assume we didn't trust Roman Catholics. But anyway, we moved to a place called Whitehill, and that was in my early teens. And that's where things started to change a wee bit. I think as a teenager, you think you know it all, and you know you're invincible, and you know no one can tell you what to do. And I did have what I thought was two good friends when I lived in Whitehill, and quite soon after meeting them, I started to work in a place called The Helmsman in Bangor. The Helmsman was a bar stroke nightclub, and I was only about 13 or 14, truthfully, at the time. And the things, looking back now, the things that I saw back then, it was, you know, so sinful. And the way people got on with alcohol, and you know, there was drugs everywhere, and things like that, and you know, it wasn't long before I was starting to think these were the normal things in life. And you know, I was starting to drink because I was around it so much and I seen it so much, and I was being asked out to parties. And as I say, I was only 13, 14 years of age. My parents probably wouldn't have known much about it. I did try drugs in a very, very small way, I'm ashamed to say. Definitely wasn't for me. But I just thank the Lord for bringing me through that time. And I just want to say, you know, the friends that I have, well, I thought they were friends, truthfully, but I want to particularly say probably the young ones, especially young Christians, you know, you just need to watch who you trust. You really do, because you think your friends are there and they'll back you up and they'll be there all the time and they'll be there forever and whatever. And, you know, certainly in my case, they weren't. And the more I was with them, the more I could have been getting into trouble. There was things I did in those days that I must admit I'm totally and utterly ashamed of. It's hard to even talk about them as a Christian. No, Mr. Wilson was talking about Psalm 51 this morning and how as Christians we realise even more how shameful sin is. And you know, it's hard to talk about some of these things before the Lord entered my life, but it's part of my testimony. I feel I have to tell it. And again, you know, it kept on even in back in those days. This man, Keith, kept on popping up. Just I could have been walking down a street and he could have started to speak to me. He never knew who it was. He never knew I'd been to his house when I was a young boy, and I never really told him, I suppose, but he kept on popping up, and the Lord, you know, the Lord was leading him to me, I believe, and to have a word with me. And you know, I did believe there was a God, but I really thought that was it. I didn't know anything about heaven or hell and the need to be saved, and you know, I thought you could just believe in God, and that was, you know, we're all going to heaven, and that was about the height of it. We'll come to probably the reason why I'm here today, truthfully. Now, my wife down there is starting to get a wee bit nervous, and I can understand why. We've had a few discussions over this. I think hopefully I'm going to win them. In 1992, things were going to change dramatically. And I didn't obviously know it at the time. But 1992, I was offered out to an engagement party. And just bear with me, you probably wonder where this is going, but I was offered out to an engagement party, and I wasn't for going, or really wasn't for going this night. Truthfully, when it came to being around girls, women, whatever, I was a fairly shy fellow. Probably, you probably don't think that now, but I was. And I suppose, as I said in my testimony in Bangor, they even scared me at times, truthfully. And I mean that in the nicest possible way, ladies. But anyway, at the last minute, friends of mine twisted my arm, so to speak. And I went out and went to this nightclub. And it was there that night that, I'm trying to choose my words here. It was there that night I met my wife-to-be, Dorothy. Now, she didn't want me to say this bit, but I'm going to say it, because, and it will get me into trouble. I went over to speak to her, and the first words she said to me was, "Do you want to dance?" Now, I've already told you, I kicked with the left foot. I would have danced with two left feet, so there was no chance of that. But anyway, as we met, we talked, and we arranged to meet again, and we started to go out, we started to go steady, as the saying goes. Not long after that, Dorothy's father, John, as a lot of you will know, asked us to come out here to the gospel meetings on a Sunday night. And truthfully, I was a wee bit, I don't know, worried. Don't know whether that's the right word or not, but I knew I was going to a Free Presbyterian church, and I was a Roman Catholic, so I didn't know how that would stand. But I must admit, coming here in those very early days, I enjoyed it. I can remember, I always sat up the back. For some reason, I always sat as far away from the minister as possible. No offence, Mr. Wilson. But that's just where we sat, and that was it. And you know, it was quite soon after coming here and lifting the Bible for the first time, and reading God's word. I mean, everything just became so plain. I mean, you were never encouraged, obviously, as a Roman Catholic, to lift the Bible ever. And you know, for a long time, I sat up the back under very, very heavy conviction of sin, and I can remember my heart nearly pumping out of my chest every night, every Sunday evening leaving here. And I can remember, you know, I always come back to those words in Genesis 6:3 about the Lord's Spirit not always striving with man. And you know, none of us know what tomorrow is going to bring, none of us. And my heart was pounding, and I would have left each Sunday night, and the good old devil was saying, "Oh, maybe next week, leave it for a wee while longer, sure you're all right, sure you're young." And you know, this went on for a good period of time, until one Sunday evening in November 1994, and I'd been sitting up the back, the meeting had just ended, and again, my heart was just beating out of my chest. I knew I needed to get right with God. I knew I was a sinner. And I can remember Dorothy was taking me home that night, and we're driving up the road. We're going up to her parents' house up in Castlereagh Hills, as they call it now. But we're going past where a minister lived, and as we got past his house, I just said to Dorothy, "I can't go home. I need to talk to someone tonight. I need to get right with God." So Dorothy turned the car and went down to see her minister, and talked to her minister then, and he told me to go home and read Gospel of John. I remember getting home, and I couldn't get up the stairs quick enough and open my Bible, and started to read, and I couldn't have been through maybe two chapters of it at the most. And that night I just sat on the side of my bed and bowed my head, and asked the Lord into my life and told him I was a sinner and told him, and you know, I just needed him in my life at that time. And I thank the Lord for lifting me out of that miry clay and set my feet upon that solid rock, which is Christ Jesus. And you know, as a Christian, it's not easy. Now that I, in hindsight, I can look back. And there is always ups and downs, and I want to share a few of them with you, because with you all, I think some people can have that perception: you're a Christian and everything's rosy and everything's fine and all the rest of it, and that's just not the way it goes. But in 1995, Dorothy himself got married and was set up home. And you know, even as young Christians, I suppose we weren't given. Truthfully, I feel like we weren't given God His place. Although people seen a change in me and in the workplace and stuff, I wasn't doing enough for the Lord. And even back then, I felt we were only really going out on a Sunday morning or Sunday evening to church, and that was about. Truthfully, that was about the height of it as a Christian. And it wasn't enough. And I know you could put all sorts of excuses in the way where we had a young family and. I would have worked all day and Dorothy would have worked in the evening. We're, you know, like ships in the night at the start of our marriage. But this is what worked and for us. But it was, I feel personally that we're neglecting the Lord at that time. But then in 1996, the Lord blessed us with our daughter, Rachel. And then... again in 1999 with Adam. And you know, I can remember praying a lot about this, and it's funny how you pray more when you want something, isn't it, really? You know, I mean, or when you need something. And I always feel guilty that way, that you come to the Lord more in prayer when you're in trouble. Or I think you should be constantly in prayer. Whether you're in need the Lord's help, you should always be in prayer. But I can remember praying for a daughter. And the Lord blessed us with that daughter, as you know. And then again, in 1999, blessed us with Adam. And I asked the Lord for a son at that time. Now, I'm going to get the Alice in a wee minute or two. I don't want her to be left out. I left her out of my testimony in Bangor, but we'll not go there. And I haven't lived it down ever since, you can imagine. But I say we continued on with no real involvement in Sandown at all. But then in 2004, my father had been quite ill, and he was late 60s at the time, and my father passed away in 2004, and it wasn't a great time, obviously, and it was the first loved one I'd ever lost, and I was always worried about how it would go and how I would take it and all the rest of it. And you know, I know my father wasn't a saved man. He was Roman Catholic, and there, you know, I couldn't have talked to him truthfully about these things. I mean, any time I did, it just he wasn't really listening, which was a hard enough time in my life. But the Lord brought us through. And then, and you know, we just say kept on going on as normal. And then in 2009, this is probably the hardest, if not one of the hardest bits to talk about in my testimony. And if I stammer or stutter, you'll understand, I hope. But in December 2009, things were to change, or like looked like they were going to change in a big way. Because we hadn't been walking truthfully well, and I'm speaking for myself more than anything, but because I hadn't been walking well with the Lord, you know, we were weak as Christians, to be honest with you. And the devil took that opportunity, and believe you me, he took that opportunity at that time to try and get into a Christian home. And for a good, I'm sure, 4 to 6 months, life was not great as in the Kennedy household, truthfully. And things were not good at all. the way I dealt with things was, as a Christian, was so wrong. I'm ashamed to say it, standing here tonight, but instead of turning to the Lord, I turned to alcohol. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know who to turn to. There was no minister here at Sandown, or I didn't really know the session committee, but you know, who should have been turning to was the Lord anyway. And I had started to drink, and I couldn't stop. And this really was not me. And until one night, and I think it was maybe April or March time, and you know, I was drinking and going to work the next day, and I remember sitting in my back garden, and there was half a bottle left of whatever was there. And you know, there were dark days. There really were dark days. But I remember sitting there that night, and I remember it like it was yesterday. And I looked at that bottle, and that night I believe the Lord spoke to me, and he said, "John, you turned to alcohol and not me." And I can still hear those words to this day. And, you know, the following morning I woke up, went to work, and, you know, started to pray, started to put that alcohol to one side and started to pray. And truthfully, things started to change in such a big way. The past started to become clear again. The Lord started to lead us in the right direction. And, you know, this is the times we have as Christians. And, you know, I'm sure there's not one person here tonight that, as a Christian, hasn't had those hard times. And I believe we'll come out the other end a better, a stronger Christian. And it just wasn't a nice time. And I always look back in my Bible, and there's words that, there's verses in Proverbs 3 and verses 5 and 6, and I know you all know them, but sometimes the familiar ones can be the ones that are easy to read over, I find. But they mean so much to me. In verse 5, we read that we're to trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on our own understandings. And always acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And, you know, it's those words, and lean not on our own understandings. And that's what I did. I lent my own understandings at that time, and didn't trust in the Lord. And I feel so guilty for it. And it's plain there in his word what we're to do. There's nothing overly complicated about God's word. It's all plain and simple for us to read. And it's just simple. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understandings. And, you know, these are words that I've clung to for since those days, truthfully, and never forget about them. And they mean so much to me. So, you know, we came through that time in our Christian lives, and I believe we did come out stronger. And the Lord certainly answered prayer and was with us. And I get to 2011, and this is the Lord blessed us again with Alice. And again, I'd been praying about this, and I'd been praying for a daughter. And I don't know why I wanted another woman in the house, but I wanted another woman in the house. I am really getting myself into deep trouble tonight. But anyway, the Lord blessed us with Alice, and he blessed her with a lot of energy as well. More than I can think I can cope with at this age, truthfully. But I think, as Mr. Wilson said one time, if you could bottle it up and sell it, it'd probably be worth, you know, be a millionaire by now. But anyway, so the Lord has been good. The Lord has certainly been good to us. And I just want to move on to, next part is Mr. Wilson and his family. He got the calling to come here in Sandown, and truthfully, I did not know who this man was. I said, "Who is this Mr. Wilson?" He said, "He's been here to preach a few times." And I said, "Well, I mean, like, I mustn't have been, I don't know, was I not listening or something?" But I shouldn't say that, because he's very close to me. But, you know, I really do. I thank the Lord for calling them here. not only Mr. Wilson, but Rachel, Kirsten, Leah, and Isaac, and, you know, they've been such an encouragement to us all, and I don't know what we'd do without them. But way back in those early days, I can remember every time I got a call from him, I got really worried. That's past now, believe you me. I get loads of calls from him, and probably vice versa. But anyway, I can remember one night getting a call from him and answering the phone, and he said, would you think or would you pray about taking up the work down in Hollywood? And, you know, the first thing that came into my thoughts, this was for me and myself and Dorothy, and the first thing came into my thoughts was no. You know, I never said that over the phone to him, obviously, but I was always going to go away and pray about it, as we do. And, you know, that was just a devil attacks straight away. And I'll be honest with you, I'll not go into any detail, but a few days ago, you know, when you're going to do something for the Lord, like give a word of testimony or whatever you're going to do, the devil will attack. And he tried it in the last few days, and I'm glad to say he hasn't succeeded and he won't succeed. But anyway, we went away and we talked and we prayed about it, and then we got involved in the work down in Hollywood. And you know, I never saw myself as a Sunday school teacher, truthfully. I, as a Christian, focused a lot more on the New Testament and these stories of Daniel and Job and Moses, and I had to really sort of brush up on my teaching and all the rest of it. And but, you know, I believe the Lord knew this. The Lord knew this was a weak point in my life, and I believe that's why he led me that way. And I thank the Lord for it. It's great to teach the children. It's a great privilege to be able to teach children, because that was me once. That was all of us once. Someone was teaching us and telling us God's word. And I'm glad for men like this man, Keith, that I thank the Lord for this man, Keith, that I've been talking about. And to be in that position now that he was in, and teaching young boys and girls of their need to get right with the Lord. And, you know, then obviously after that, you know, we're getting more and more involved in the church, and I was voted in the committee with obviously others. And then only last year, you all know our brother James McGill, and they moved away, and the Lord seemed fit to make me secretary here. And you know, that's another weakness I must admit I'd have. My brains, as I've always said, are in my hands. I love working with my hands. When it comes to pen and paper, I can read and write and stuff like that, but I just never really liked doing it, truthfully. I couldn't get out of school quick enough. But the Lord knew, I believe, this was another weakness in my life, and that's why he directed me this way. Sorry, I'm just gonna check the time, because I'm just making sure I've got past that 7 minutes, but I think that's been and gone now. Just in finishing, I want to talk about I want to go back a few years to 2012 and talk about a part of my life that's always been heavy in my heart, and it's something I can't get away from. And that is, I don't know what I said actually at the start. I was one of five, an older brother, an older sister, and two younger brothers, and I was right in the middle. But in 2012, I got a phone call from my mum, and it was to say that my sister Andrea had to go to the doctors, and it looked like she had taken a stroke. I remember that Friday night going up with one of my brothers to the hospital. She had been told to get up to the hospital, and she went up to the hospital, and had to lift her car. And when we got to the hospital, I can visualize seeing my sister coming out of her room, and She came over to us and they'd scanned her and done all sorts of tests, and she'd been diagnosed with 2 inoperable brain tumours. My sister was 40 at the time. And I say this more so tonight, particularly to those who don't know the Lord. What I want to speak about tonight, my sister wasn't saved. But my sister spent the rest of her time in hospital. And on the 6th of November, I can remember going up to the hospital and waiting to go in and see her. And family were actually all upbeat, like she was getting better and all the rest of it. And I waited for my turn and I went in with my mother and a brother. And she was lying there and she was off all the machines she could have been on. And I just took one look at her and knew things weren't great. Doctor came in and told us she doesn't have long. I can remember standing like it was yesterday at the end of her bed, and my brother and mother were sitting talking, and I was just permanently looking at my sister Andrea, and I seen her breathing getting shallower and shallower and shallower until eventually it stopped. And I paused and waited for a minute or two before I caught, just to make sure, truthfully. But you know, that night I watched my sister slip into a Christless hell. This book tells us where the unsaved will go. And my sister was not saved. My sister didn't believe in God, didn't want to know anything about God. And you know, as much as I miss her and miss talking to her and all the rest of it, I have a heavy heart because I know she didn't have the Lord in her life. And as I say, I know where she is this day. And I just want to appeal to anybody here. Look, I don't know your situation, how your heart is, but I really want to appeal to anybody who doesn't know the Lord tonight as our Savior. Please, 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 don't leave this world. Don't leave this scene of time without the Lord. You know, I was saved at the age of 21. I lived in this world in sin. And you could say, if you want, I've been there, wrote the book and got the t-shirt. And the Lord entered my life at the age of 21. And believe you me, I know which one of the two is far better. And the Lord tells us he'll never leave us and he'll never forsake us. And I thank the Lord again this night for the day and Ari saved me. And just as a finish, just one more wee thing to say, and it's I'm very guilty of writing wee notes and stuff in my Bible and doodling over it, but it's with proper sort of thing and whatever. But there was always a page at the front of my Bible, and it was always blank, and I just had to write something on it, truthfully. And it's a chorus of a hymn I think we're going to sing. And there are words that mean so much to me, and I hope they can mean so much to both see those who are saved and unsaved tonight. And I'm not going to sing it because I want you all to stay for supper. I don't want you to run out that door. But it goes like this, and it's Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Thanks for listening. Thank you.
Well, our thanks to John this evening for coming and sharing with us that very personal word of testimony. We're thankful for what the Lord has done in John's life through hard and difficult times, yet the Lord has been with him. And you know, tonight, one of the great truths about a testimony is that it shows to us that salvation is real. What John has talked about tonight is not something that he's worked up in his own thoughts. It's a real thing. Salvation's real. The Lord makes a real change in the life. And tonight, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then I urge you, I plead with you, why not come? Why not leave your sin tonight? Why not come to Jesus Christ? It's the best decision you'll ever make. Don't waste your life in the world. This world has nothing to offer you. John has already spoken of that. This world will only offer you distress. It'll only offer you all the old things that will never satisfy you. But Christ satisfies. When you come to Him tonight, you turn your life over to Him. That's just a wee word of prayer before we sing our closing hymn. And again, we want to thank John for sharing with us his testimony. And wouldn't it be great tonight, and if you could leave this place with a testimony of what the Lord has done for you. 15th of August, 2021, go down as the day that you got saved. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this evening for Thy presence with us. We thank Thee, Lord, for help given. We thank the Lord for what You've done in the life of John Kennedy. We thank Thee, Lord, for that day You saved him. And Lord, we just pray You'll continue to be with him and bless him and encourage him, he and Dorothy and the family at this time. But, oh God, we thank Thee tonight that though we wander into sin, yet we thank Thee, Lord, that You're one who's merciful. We thank Thee, Lord, tonight You're one who's just. You'll forgive us of our sin. And Lord, we pray tonight that those in this place without Christ, those listening on without the Savior, with no hope in this world or no hope in the life that is yet to be lived beyond the grave, may they come to Christ. May they realize that He paid it all. Answer prayer. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. So we are going to sing that hymn that John has quoted. 322 in our hymn books. The words will be on the screen. I hear the Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small, child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all." Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. And thank God tonight, He still washes sin white as snow. We'll stand together as we sing this closing hymn, please. remain standing for prayer. And tonight, if you have a concern about your soul, you'd like to speak to myself or even to John or someone else you know, oh, why not tonight come and put things right with God. Eternal God and our Father, we thank Thee for this meeting tonight. We thank the Lord for a sense of the divine presence. We thank the Lord for all that has taken place. And Lord, we pray that tonight You will be pleased to speak. Lord, we pray that tonight You'll convict the lost of their sin and bring them to faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, bless Thy word, we pray. Bless the word of testimony tonight. Bless the messages, Lord, that have been brought to us as well in music and in song. And Lord, we pray that tonight Thy Spirit will work. And Lord, that this night someone in this meeting or perhaps watching online may realize that Jesus paid it all. And Lord, that this night they would run to Christ. Bless us, we pray now. Lord, for those who leave, we pray, Lord, You'll part each one the blessing of God. For those who remain, take over thanks for those good things provided. And help us to eat and drink to the glory of Almighty God. In the Savior's name we pray.